is no darkness too great that your love cannot overtake. There is no stronghold too strong that your love cannot tear it down. There is a hope that's alive. I feel it burning on the inside. There is a blood that's overcome. Oh, King of Kings, let your kingdom come. Let every heart, let every soul praise God. Let all of the earth, all of creation. The God who restores with just one word the world was formed. You are the Spirit whose light is breaking forth like the dawn from night. You're one who holds the keys, and every battle is your victory. Yours is the blood that's over. Let your kingdom come, and let every heart, let every soul praise you. Let all of the earth, all of creation.
Praise. songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Though the music changes and the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King.
Always send your rain.
God, you are my shepherd, my rock, you are my fortress and my shield. You're the defender of my heart. Oh Lord,
my God, you are my shepherd, my rock, you are my fortress and my shield. You're the defender, my heart.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, feeling helpless, and I don't feel helpless very much, but
the thing about it is when I sing this song, the Lord as a shepherd is a protector, you know, and the Lord is a shield and a fortress to us. And so when I sing those songs, they mean something, you know, and the tangibility of strife in your life is the thing that makes your praise powerful when you face it. Sing one more time, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, even in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow.
Stay steadfast, my soul. He's never failing. You are so good, God. You are so good. You are so faithful, God. You are so faithful. You never let us down. You never leave us dry. You never leave us empty. You never leave us incomplete. Every void right now in this room, He's gonna fill. Every void that you have inside, He's gonna fill in the name of Jesus. He's gonna fill that void. He doesn't bring confusion. He doesn't bring darkness. He doesn't bring loss. Every loss you have, He's gonna restore right now in the name of Jesus. Every loss, every void, it's being filled right now. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your filling. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us for relying on our own thoughts. Forgive us for taking what someone else says above what you say. God, forgive us for that, God. Help us to cling to you the most and not what this world says. Help us to hear your voice above all else. God, forgive us for not doing that, God. Come and reign deep, rooted in our hearts, in our minds. Help us to think your thoughts, God. Help us to think above. Help us to look to you for our source of life, for our help. God, fill us, Lord, this morning. We need you, Lord. We need you, God.
We hold our hands out, we fill them up. We hold our hands out, you fill them up. We hold our hands out, you fill them up. We hold our hands out, you fill them up. We hold our hands out, you fill them up. We hold our hands out, you fill them up. We hold our hands out, you fill them up. We hold our hands out, you fill them. We hold our hands up, you fill them up.
Whoa!
We hold our hands out and you fill them up. We hold our hands out and you fill them up.
Whoa!
With your mouth, say thank you, God. Thank you for this filling. Thank you for this outpouring of strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for never leaving us. Thank you, God. Thank you for that restoration. Thank you for that transformation. Thank you for that work that you're doing in us. Thank you, God, that we can come to you and receive. Thank you, Lord, for making us new. Thank you for not leaving us the same, but thank you for growing us and stretching us into more like who you are, God. We want to be more like you. God, we want to be more like you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. but your creator? Who is he but your father? Who is he but your provider? Who is he but your filler? Who is he but your protector? He is mighty to be praised. The one and only, just him. Just him. We praise you. We commit our lives this morning to you, God, and we ask that you would just have your way in us, God. Have your way in this place, God. We invite you, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Good morning, church. We're so happy to have you guys here. Yes, praise God. We want to welcome you guys this morning, and we also want to welcome our online audience. There's nothing like being in person, but we are thankful for technology. So we're so happy that you can be with us this morning as well. At this time, we'd like to welcome anyone that would like to come and give in our tithes and offering. There's many ways to give. You can give online through our app, the Carpenter Shop Church app, or you can give by cash and check in these bins up in the front.
Good day, and welcome to another episode of Ordinary to Extraordinary, where we take a look at ordinary people and ordinary creatures who do extraordinary things. I'm your host, as always, Mr. Ordinary. On today's show, we have a special guest to help us out, and his name is Jackson Saunders. Jackson, can you wave to the audience?
Hello.
Okay, Jackson, we're going to play a little game today, and we're going to see if I tell you two animals, if you can tell me which one is stronger.
Okay.
Jackson, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here's the first pair, and you say which is stronger, the elephant or the hippo?
The hippo.
Jackson says the hippo. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Well, let's see if you're right. It's the hippo. You're right, Jackson. The hippo is so strong, his jaw can bite someone right in two. That's extraordinary. All right, Jackson, let's try another. Are you ready?
Yeah!
Which is stronger, a grizzly bear or a tiger? Jackson says the tiger. What do you think? Is he correct? Let's find out. It is the tiger! You're right again, Jackson. My goodness, you're smart today. The tiger, ladies and gentlemen, can carry twice its body weight up a tree. That is rather extraordinary, wouldn't you say? Let's see if you can get another one right, Jackson. Which is stronger, the falcon or the eagle?
The eagle,
he says. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? You are correct. It is the eagle. Ladies and gentlemen, an eagle can pick up 4 times its body weight into the air and fly away. That is a beetle.
The rhinoceros beetle.
Let's see if you're right. Jackson says the rhinoceros beetle, and the answer is the dung beetle. Aww. Oh, we're sorry, Jackson, you missed that one. But my goodness, you have been incredibly smart today. The dung beetle, ladies and gentlemen, can pull 1,142 times its weight. That's equivalent to you, Jackson, pulling 6 school buses full of people.
I can't do that.
Are you strong enough for that?
No.
No, you don't think so. Well, Jackson, you've been a fantastic guest on today's show. I just have a few more questions for you. Jackson, where do you think all this extraordinary strength that these animals have comes from? Say it louder so they can hear you, Jackson.
God.
Jackson said they get their strength from God. Do you think he's right, ladies and gentlemen? Does God only give strength to the animals?
No.
No, who else does he give strength to?
Me.
He gives strength to you? What about to these other kids? Does he give strength to them?
Yeah.
Jackson, you're right again. God gave each one of these animals extraordinary physical strength. But he also gives us strength on the inside. And with that strength, we can overcome any obstacle that comes our way. Let's take a look at the Bible and see if we can find some more stories of God using ordinary people to do extraordinary things.
Wow, those are some strong animals. How many of you guys got some of those right? Some of those I think I would have gotten wrong. Today we're talking about how God gives us extraordinary strength. How many of you guys play a musical instrument? Anybody in here play an instrument? Today, in our story, there's going to be some musical instruments, a trumpet specifically. In our story today, which comes from Joshua chapter number 6, God's people, the Israelites, they have been rescued from Egypt, and now they find themselves at some point camped outside the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho, we talked a little bit about it last month, was a super unfriendly city. It had really tall walls, and they would not let God's people into the walls. But God said, Joshua, don't worry. Still be strong and courageous, because I'm going to give you the city of Jericho. You only have to follow my plan. Do you want to know what God's plan was? God's plan involved 7 priests, not soldiers, holding trumpets, not weapons. And that was part of God's plan. They were to march around the city of Jericho for 6 days straight. The rest of the people would follow them too. So day after day, they marched around the walls of Jericho. And on the 7th day, they were supposed to march around and around. And on the 7th time, blow their trumpets and yell. And they did exactly as God said. And what happened? The walls came crashing down. Now, Joshua might have said, I don't understand how walls could come down with trumpets and yelling, but he never questioned God, because he realized after the walls fell that God had used him to do something amazing. God had given them extraordinary strength to do something amazing. I have 2 little towers here. And I have a piece of paper. Do you think if I put my piece of paper on top of my towers that it will hold up my tissue box? What do you guys think? You think my paper is strong enough to hold my tissue box? Let's see on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. It is not strong enough to hold my tissue box. But I wonder if there's a way that we could get my paper to be a little stronger. What are some ways that we become stronger in God? What about prayer when we pray? When we read our Bible and spend time in God's Word? when we come to church and worship with other people, that makes us stronger. When we memorize scripture and spend time. When we listen to God, when we spend time listening to God. And when we do the things that God asks us to do, all of those things make us stronger. So now let's see if with my strengthened paper, it can hold my tissue box. You ready? On the count of three, one, two, three. And now, because my paper has been strengthened, it can hold my tissue box. How much more can God strengthen us to do the things that he's asked us to do? I don't know what it is, adults or kids. Maybe he's asked you to do something and you feel like it's about as crazy as walking around walls and then falling down with yelling. But God will give you extraordinary strength to do that, those things. He can use us, ordinary people, to do something amazing. If whatever tough is going on in your life, whatever's going on in your family or kids, whatever's going on, God will help us and give us strength to get through it. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for your amazing and extraordinary strength that you give us. God, I pray that you would help us to be strong and courageous and brave to do whatever it is that you've asked us to do, and that, to know that we can get through whatever comes our way because of your amazing strength. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Would you give it up for our kids' ministry staff? Praise the Lord. Praise God. COVID-19 has not stopped ministry going forth to kids. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of you are wondering, you know, when we're going to start Wednesday night back up. We are talking about that. We'll let you know as soon as possible when we plan to resume on a Wednesday night schedule. Thank you for listening to us. And would you do us a favor? When you look on your social media, would you share the kids' broadcast right after this broadcast? Our kids go live. And we've been reaching hundreds every week, so it would help a lot if you would just find that kids' ministry and get it playing on your phone or on your laptop or whatever, your tablet, and just hit share, because when you share, what you do is you just exponentially make it powerful and effective because so many more people get a chance to see it. Got a beautiful shirt up here. It's called Glory Days. Doesn't fit me. It's just a little bit small. But somebody here can wear this. Who's small in the building? Anybody small? Jalen, you're small, aren't you? Come here, Jalen. I'll let you wear this shirt right here. We're going to give this shirt away. In the foyer, somebody say in the foyer. In the foyer, there's a table there of Glory Days merchandise, okay? And if this doesn't quite fit you, just change it. Just tell them I said so, okay? Just tell them I said so. That'll get you a long ways. In this building, anyway, all right? But go by and check out the table there. Glory Days merchandise. What's Glory Days? It's a business that Pastor Josh had for some time now, and he's chosen to shut that down since they're moving to the West Coast. Remember, next Sunday is their last Sunday here. We'll be celebrating them in the morning service and having a meal afterwards. If you haven't signed up for, hey, I'm going to stay and eat, please sign in the foyer on the tablets there on the welcome desk, so we'll know exactly how many people we're going to have. And also, over the years, Josh has produced his own songs. And so here's a CD. I'm going to give this. Robert, come here. I know you're a song lover, man. Robert, I worked with him several years ago, and he was always listening to Van Morrison, those guys. So this is a great CD right here. All original songs by Pastor Josh. Give it up for Josh. Amen for original songs. Josh said, Dad, make sure you tell them that's not a worship CD, okay? It's not a worship CD, but it's a great CD. I've listened to it many times. It's all songs written, all songs original by Pastor Josh, and you'll enjoy that. And so go by the table. What you can do is take those T-shirts. It's an amazing miracle. You can take those T-shirts and turn it into gasoline. That's what you do. You pass your money over to the table, get your shirt and your CD, and it miraculously turns into gas. Amen. I mean, that's better than $2 a gallon, isn't it? So go by. Come on. Give it up. Go by and help us out at the table. Eliminate that merchandise, and you can help them. If you wanted to see them go, you can get rid of them faster. Just buy the whole table, okay? All right. How many of you are going to miss Josh and Cassandra? Come on. Amen. Going to miss them greatly. But you know what? God has a plan. Amen. He has a plan, and we don't want to get in the way of his plan. We want to bless them in that plan. So we look forward to next week just celebrating them and their precious family and what they've meant to us in the last season of their life. Transformational living. We're in a series here called Transformational Living. Today, I want to talk to you about transformed love. Amen. Somebody say transformed love. Romans 12, the verses are 9 and 10. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 12, the verses are 9 and 10. I love what Paul does here in this book of Romans, because he gets to a place in chapter 12, as we've marked it, where he just kind of slows down. And he gives what I call these short, succinct phrases, kind of like punches, you know. He's talked to us about a couple of things. We'll mention that momentarily. But then he gets to the place along chapter 12 in that passage where he gives little short, succinct phrases. Love must be sincere. Just three words. Love must be sincere. Four words. I can count. Love must be sincere. He just gives you know, that's a powerful statement in just a few words. But he gives some powerful things here that I want to transfer to your spirit today as we look in God's Word together. Shall we pray together? Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to come in your house of worship. We thank you, Lord, that we can be still in this place and hear from you, Lord, this morning that it's in the waiting, that we're to be steadfast in our soul, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions, that because we wait upon you, and your word declares, and it's so true, that you restore our strength, you renew our minds. And so, God, I pray today that you would help us all to experience a reminder of how you transform our love when we come to you, that you don't leave us the same, that you take us and you mold us and you shape us into the person that you've destined us to be, created after your image and your likeness, to become more like you. And God, we praise you for that. May we experience that in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Romans 12, 9 and 10. Going to teach a little bit this morning, and let's allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to us. Love must be sincere. Here he commands us another phrase here. Hate what is evil. Then he gives another phrase. Cling to what's good. Hate what's evil. Cling to what's good. Be devoted, verse 10, to one another in brotherly love. And then finally, honor one another above yourself. Amen? I love the storyline of what God is saying to us through these apostolic lips of Paul. He's talking to the church at Rome, but ultimately, listen, he's talking to us today. Ultimately, God is speaking to us today these very words, and he's reminding us that we are called also to love, that our love must be sincere. We're called also to hate what's evil, to cling to the good things in life. We're called also to be devoted to each other in brotherly love and to honor other people above ourselves. Think about it. The first message that I shared with you in this series, this is the third one now. The first message that I shared with you in this series was a call, remember, to give your body sacrificially. Remember what we talked about. He says, you don't have to die. I've already died for you. So you give your body as a what? Living sacrifice. It becomes a vessel of honor to God, not becoming a copy or a pattern of the world, not just fitting in and flowing with everything the society's doing, but rather living according to the God principles of the Word, and your life is transformed by God's power. Some of you that are seated here today, some of you that are listening online, understand, because in your own life, you experienced a major transformation. God changed you from darkness unto light. You don't do the things that you used to do. You don't behave the way that you used to behave. You don't think the thoughts that you used to think. And the reason that that happened is because of God's amazing work inside your heart through the shed blood of Jesus Christ taking root into your heart, into your life. And that life that you live is received by the Father as worship. He said, when he said that in to the church at Rome, he said, when you do this, when you live this transformed life, he said, that is your reasonable service. In the King James, in the NIV, it says it's your spiritual act of worship to God. When you get up in the morning and you go about your duties and you go out of your house and head to your workplace or whatever you have to do, and you live your life with a sensitivity to the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, doing the things that the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you to do, fulfilling the Word of God in your character, in your integrity, in your behavior, what you're doing is you're worshiping God. It's not an 11 o'clock experience. It's a lifestyle. That was the first message. The second message we shared last week called us to do what? Now that we transformed by the power of the cross, we are to find our place of service. Remember what he said? We are to find our place of service, because we talked about those giftings, the God-given giftings, those abilities, those skills, those anointings that are placed on your life that are Spirit-placed, Spirit-released, and Spirit-led. If we ask, you know, if we just randomly chose five or six of you and just started pointing, hey, come here, would you help us here on the guitar today? Would you play this electric guitar? Would you get on the drums? And would you play the keys? If we chose five people that couldn't find middle C on a keyboard, what would happen? There would nothing. It would be total chaos. You'd just be hitting keys and just, you know, this just... I have no idea what to do with this. But because of gifting, somebody say gifting. Because of giftings and Spirit-released abilities, some of you have been raised up to discover that you have the gift of music. You have the gift of instrumentation. You've discovered that God has enabled you to do that. Now, some of you can sing, but guess what? Some of you can't sing. Come on now. Some of you, listen to you. How many of y'all, don't raise your hand, but how many of you stand in front of someone who couldn't carry a tune in a bucket? Don't raise your hand, please. How many of you have ever stood beside someone and said, man, I don't know what he's singing, but it sure ain't the right chord. Amen. Some people can't sing. Aren't you glad God said make a what? Joyful noise. Amen. To the Lord. But because of those giftings, we discover those giftings and we put them to work. We put them to work because they in turn will use their giftings to lead us in worship, to come into a place of His presence when we come together collectively. God's looking for those. And then He says, listen, if your gift is prophecy, prophesy, man. If your gift is teaching, teach. If your gift is giving, reach out and give. If your gift is serving, serve. If it's offering mercy, then you offer that mercy. So those are the last two messages that we had. Today, we're talking about a love that is transformed in our life. We examine this transformational life because it goes further, talks about our life being transformed, then talks about giving our gifts as we live that transformed life. And thirdly, now we got to make sure everything we do it in what? We do it in love. We do it in love. Verse 9a, I call it 9a, the first part of it says, love must be what? Sincere. Love must be sincere. What does sincere mean? Well, sincere means having or showing true feelings. Hold on to that. Having true feelings, showing true feelings that are expressed in what kind of way? An honest way, a genuine way, and a real way. You don't fake it. I love what the message says. Love from the center of who you are, and don't fake it. Love from the center of who you are, and don't fake it. In other words, God wants you, God wants me to be truthful. We want to be honest. We want to be truthful here. What are some of those places where we're tested in this, even in small ways? Well, you know, it won't be long. We're just a few months away from Christmas. Travel with me to your family's house at a Christmas gathering. You're all there, you're taking your turns, and you're opening your gifts, and especially those presents that were selected just for you, and you pick it up. It's a beautiful package. You pick it up with excitement, and you shake it, and then you put a little pressure on it, and you're trying to feel what it is. What it is, you're nervous about opening it in front of everybody, so you're saying, what is this? And you're opening it, and you're shaking, and you're squeezing. Finally, you just rip off the bow and the paper, and as you do, your excitement is building, and you open the box, and out of your mouth comes those words as you pick it up for everybody to see. Oh my goodness, this is beautiful. But inside of you, you're thinking, what was she thinking? She never seen me wear anything like this, this gosh awful thing. I wouldn't wear this to a hog killing. Come on. I'm dating myself here. Some of you folks don't know what a hog killing is, but some of you do. And you're, but what did you do? You said, oh, thank you so much. And then tomorrow's Monday. Christmas was on Sunday. Tomorrow's Monday. What are you doing? You're going to Belk's, man. You're going to get your money back for this thing because you don't want that garment, right? Or either you stick it in the closet and say, well, you know what? I hate to not use it, but I just don't what? Don't like it. I don't like it. Why don't you do something like this? When you open it up, instead of declaring a lie, saying, oh, this is beautiful, why don't you just say, thank you so much for remembering me at Christmas? Come on, is that a lie? Thank you so much for remembering me at Christmas. And then you lean over to your wife and say, even though you don't know what to buy for me, just thank you so much for remembering our family at Christmas. Now, you can take it back later. You can get your money back or a gift card or whatever. You can turn it into something that you can use. Thankfully, some of those family members will look at you and they'll say, look, hey, the gift receipt's on it now. If that's not what you need or the wrong size, what do they tell you? Take it back. And you go, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Okay? But here, listen, this is just a reminder. What works? Honesty. Love must be what? Sincere. It's got to be sincere. How about that? Love tells the truth. Love must be sincere. Love doesn't fake its way to building some false story about your feelings. Second illustration, have you ever been asked to do something? Has somebody ever said, hey, I need you to help me here. Can you do me a favor? And the fact is, as soon as they start asking you, you really don't want to. Anybody ever felt that way? You know, they're asking you to do something. Maybe the church has asked you, hey, could you help us on Wednesday give away food? And you really don't want to. And the pastor sees you in the hallway and say, hey, can you help us Wednesday? And you say, sure. And then you get in the car and say, why did I say that? I don't want to do that. I'm busy on Wednesday. But you say, sure. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do it sincerely. You're supposed to do it honestly. I've asked people to do things before, and this is what I love. They told me the truth. I say, hey, can you help us at the church? We're going to be meeting out there on Thursday or whatever. And they'd say, well, you know, Pastor, I understand what you're doing, and I think it's a great project, but that just really doesn't fit me too well. Can I just catch you on something else? What did I just do? I told you what? The truth. I told you the truth. Love must be what? Sincere. Everything about you must be sincere. It must be truthful. There must be integrity wrapped up that. You know, if somebody tells you the truth, maybe you're sitting at their table and they've prepared you a meal. And they say, well, what'd you think about it? And you're going to say, oh, I loved it. If you do that, you know what they're going to do? They're going to wrap up some of it in a package and you're going to take it home with you. If you're not careful, you'll have a whole container of it. So what would you be better off to do? Hey, you know, I like the butter beans better. That was okay, but it's really, I'm just not into that. But hey, great dish for some people. That's all you got to do. Just tell the what? The truth. Be sincere. People will respect you if you tell them the truth. Love people enough to be honest with them. Love people enough to be sincere. Love people enough to be real. And as the message says, love people enough that from your core, you don't fake it. You just tell the truth. I love what Paul says in verse 9, first part of it, love sincerely. Second part, 9b I call it, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Paul brings us back to the reality of exactly what his main subject is, a transformed life. The evidence of a transformed life is manifested in your choices. I was talking to a friend of mine this week who was wronged by someone. And he said, you know, he made a statement. He said, you know, I know God changes people. I know God changes people. You know, I know why? Because the old man would have just handled this differently. But because of what God has done in my life, I'm choosing to do something different. I'm choosing to do it the right way. How many of you know that when God transforms your life, that you will just look at things from a different perspective. You will look at things from a God perspective. Paul is the same apostle who, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told the Corinthians this. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things do what? They pass away. And behold, all things, all of your behaviors, all of your perspectives, all of your outlook changes." Why? Because your life has been transformed by the power of the gospel. The Bible is a story of the battle between good and evil, the standoff between God and the devil. And if we're going to follow him, we're going to choose God and cling to those things which are good. And on the contrary, if we're going to be a follower of the devil, then what will we do? We'll choose the evil thing. If we're not going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill God's laws and his expectations, then we'll be in the flesh. And the flesh will manifest. And the flesh will destroy our testimony as a life that was transformed by God. This is a tension that's always existed. Joshua 24, "Now fear the Lord," verse 14 and 15. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with" what? "All faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers," the gods that your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, "and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems something that's undesirable for you, then choose for yourselves this day who are you going to serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house," he says, "we are going to serve the Lord." Scripture consistently, you will find it from Genesis to Revelation, it consistently calls for you and I to make the choice to serve God. The Bible, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. He'll love one and hate the other." Look at verse 10. "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love." He shifts gears here. You say, "How so, Pastor?" Well, when he's up in verse 9 and he's talking about love, he's talking about agape love. He's talking about an unconditional love. It's agape. But when he gets to verse 10, he says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love." That word is what? Phileo. It's brotherly love. And he says, this is how I want you to demonstrate it. When it comes down to your brother in Christ, when it comes down to your family members, when it comes down to those people that are closely associated with you, I want you to do something. I want you to take them and honor them above your own self. Wow, that's a test, isn't it? This verse switches the attention on our love. It's not a general application, love what's good. He said, no, I want it to get down in your behaviors, even in your home, even in your church family. It's a specific application, the application of your transformed life to sincerely love your brother enough that you would give up something that you wanted and you would let him have it. Recently, my wife and as she lost her father, you know, we were going through the cleanup of the house, the getting rid of all the personal things or finding someone who could use this. And I knew, because I know my wife, I knew that there were things in the house, little small things. We're not talking about big things. We're talking about just daily usable things. And she said, "You know, I really like that." And I heard her say this. Somebody brings up an item and throws out the item, and he says, "Well, you know, I'd really like to have these." And I thought, oh, no, they're the ones that my wife said she wanted. But you know what she said? "Oh, you can have that." And as we went away from the house, I thought, "You wanted those, didn't you?" She said, "Yeah, I did, but it's okay." What is that an example of? Being devoted to one another in what kind of love? Brotherly love. It's being willing to say, "You know what? I didn't need it anyway." Amen? I didn't need it anyway. I got plenty of stuff. How many of y'all got plenty of stuff? Now, what could happen? What could happen in those circumstances? You could get very angry. You could place a whole lot of priority on a thing, and you could let that thing come between you and your relationship of your family. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all been, oh, come on, why y'all amening so much? You've been there, haven't you? Why would you let something stand in the way of something that is more precious, like a relationship? So he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, and honor one another above yourselves. It's a difference. It's because my life is transformed that I'm not going to let things get in the way of what matters the most, and that's relationship. You know, listen, you probably heard me share this illustration before, but it's in my own family, okay? In my own family, way, way back, there were family members that had property beside of one another. And one of them slipped over and plowed a little too far on the other family member's land. And they took a row of their garden. And can I just tell you something? You know what happened? They became so filled with animosity toward each other that when the mother in that family died, the daughter didn't even attend the funeral. Come on. Come on. When the mother died, the daughter who lived across the street from the church didn't even walk over to attend her mother's funeral. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourself. You say, Pastor, you're talking about your family to the world on television. So what? You know what I'm doing? Telling the truth. Okay? Telling the truth. That's what the first thing he said out of his mouth today. Love what is sincere. Be truthful. Be honest. If you don't like it, just tell them. Just don't do it in the spirit of the devil, okay? Just say, you know, what you did, why don't you just be honest? What you did, you know, it somewhat offended me. I'd really like to get this straight. Before we can go any further, I'd really like to get this straight. How about it just between husbands and wives? Today's my 39th anniversary. I've been married to Joy today for 39 years. You know what she said to me on the way to church today? She said in a very loud voice, "Well, would you do it again? Be honest." And I said, "Yes, I would." And you know what she did? She received that. She didn't say, "Oh, you're lying." She didn't say, "I know there are moments when you felt like I was just out of this house." She didn't say anything like that. "Would you do it again?" I said, "Yes, I would." And she just smiled. I peeped at her out of the corner of my eye. And she smiled. And I didn't have the guts to ask her the question, "Would you do it again?" Amen. Listen, how many of y'all know that if you're going to put two fish in the same bowl, they're going to just bump into each other once in a while, and the things in the waters are not going to always be smooth? How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all have had conflict with your spouse? Come on, you have, haven't you? I have too. We've had some pretty tough seasons of our life in 39 years, but you know what we learned? That God was using those seasons to mold us and shape us into the people that He'd called us to be. Amen? Come on, man. Give God some praise today. God's looking for sincere love. Amen? He's looking for sincere love. Honor one another above yourself. Wow. That's so God. That's just because the natural response is to put who first? Your own self. By nature, just be honest, by nature, we are selfish. Amen? You know, listen, I don't know about you guys, but when I take my wife out to eat all these years, we go, "Hey, we're riding somewhere. Hey, where do you want to eat?" You know what the wife usually says? "It don't matter. It don't matter." And then you're sitting down at the restaurant. They bring you the menu. "Good to have you guys. Well, you know, welcome to whatever restaurant." And you're looking at the menu, and she says, "Well, what are you going to get?" I said, "Well, I think I'm going to get the whatever." "And what are you going to get?" "I don't know. I don't like this place." What? Come on, husbands, come on, it's okay. Tell the truth. I put you in the corner now. Tell the truth. How many of you husbands have experienced that? Come on, raise your... Yes, that's the way they are. Women 101, okay? It's your decision, okay? "Well, why didn't you just tell me?" "Because I know you like this place, but honestly, I'm tired of it. Now we're getting somewhere, okay? Because what's happening? Truth is coming out. That's what we're looking for, truth. We're looking for truth. And when you realize, maybe you'd like to go somewhere to eat, and you know, hey, I got to pick some other place because she doesn't really care for this, then you put her above you, and you choose that. You say, well, I didn't think you liked this. Yeah, but I know you do. So we'll eat that. Judging by what you see, if I miss that meal and don't eat a whole lot, am I going to be okay? Come on. Yeah, you're going to be all right if you missed a few meals. So sacrifice. Put that person above you. Amen? Isn't God amazing? He loves us. He transforms our lives. He transforms our lives, and he enables us, as our worship team comes back, he enables us to love sincerely. He enables us to be honest. He enables us to choose good rather than evil. And he even causes us to put the needs of others above our own. Love is a verb. Come on, somebody. Love is a verb. Love is action. Love is a decision. Yesterday, my wife and I, for those of you who are social media people, you've seen us the last couple of days. We just kind of spur of the moment, nothing planned. It's 1 o'clock. Listen, if you're going to Nag's Head, you don't leave at home at 1 o'clock. You leave at 6, right? So you can get down there and enjoy the beach all day long. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, my wife and I are just talking. Hey, what do you want to do? Why don't we ride to the beach? Okay. So we rode to the beach. We sat on the beach for 2 hours, okay? Just watching the waves, listening to the waves breaking, the seagulls doing their thing, and we're sitting on the beach. Then we just start talking about what really matters. What do you want to eat? Okay? That's what really matters, right? Not, hey, we've been married 39 years, babe. Isn't that cool? No, what do you want to eat? Okay? So we're talking about restaurants. Talking about choices, okay? And we went out to eat and enjoyed a meal. Amen? Yesterday afternoon, 2 o'clock, hey, want to ride over to Little Washington? So we rode over to Little Washington yesterday. We just sat on the waterfront. You live on the waterfront, fool, okay? I know, but not in Little Washington. So we sat on the waterfront, and we went into a restaurant, and we shared a meal. We weren't really hungry, so we said, well, we could eat and just share. So we shared a salad, and we shared a steak, and we just sat and talked. But during the course of that journey there, we ran into a massive crowd of people. A bunch of people had the highway blocked, and they're shouting out phrases. They were demonstrating. They were just shouting out phrases. We slowed down respectfully. We didn't get in their way. We just kind of waited because they had just taken up the whole highway. And they were just shouting out. And you know what I said? I said, you know, I'm not sure that's going to do anything. I'm not sure hollering. I'm not sure shouting out phrases is going to do anything. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me about what I'm preaching today. You know what will do something? Is if I get up in the morning, every day of my life, and I choose to walk out this transformed life, the old is past, the new has come, and I love people, here we go, sincerely. I love people sincerely. White people, black people, colored people, red people. I love everybody. Native American people. If I just love people sincerely and do what is right, if I do that and you do that and you do that and you do that and you do that, guess what's going to happen? The world will be a better place. I'm not so sure screaming and hollering and beating your windows out is really going to do anything. So why don't we pray rather than condemn those who are shouting and say, get out of the way. Why don't we just say, you know, and this is what we said. I understand why they're upset. But I pray, here we go. I pray that God, by your Spirit, would you transform their life? And would you cause them each and every day to rise up? And every person they come in contact with, be it Caucasian, African American, or whatever, to love them sincerely. Amen? Sincerely love them. Understand them. If I do that, and you do that, and every one of us does that, the world will be such a better place. God's called us to a transformed life. Aren't you thankful that He's transformed your life by the power of the gospel? If you are, why don't you stand up and worship Him right now? Come on, let Him sing a verse, and I'm going to come back to you and give you an altar call here in just a moment. Go ahead.
Oh Lord, my God, you are my shepherd, my rock. You are my fortress and my shield. You're the defender of my heart. Oh Lord, my God, you are my shepherd, my rock. You are my fortress and my shield. You're the defender of my heart.
To make right decisions. You cause me to love. You cause me, God, to tell the truth. You cause me to be sincere. You cause me, God, to stand with the facts. And you cause me, God, to get up every day of my life and choose you. This is who I'm going to serve. If you're here today, if you're online listening, listen, just comment below. We'll connect with you. We'll follow up with you. But if you're here in this facility today, maybe the Holy Spirit has laid His finger on some issues in your heart, some issues in your life that you just need to surrender. Why don't you just come and stand in His presence? Why don't you just come as they sing that one more time? Just stand in His presence and just receive that infilling of the Holy Spirit, the power of God's presence to come down upon you. And to mold you and to shape you. Just say to God, Lord, here I am. Fill me afresh. Fill me anew today. Receive me just as I am. And fashion me and mold me and shape me and make me into that man, that woman that you called me to be. Come on, if the Holy Spirit is touching your heart today in any way, just come. Maybe you need healing. Maybe God needs to touch your body today. Just come. Stand in His presence as they sing it.
Oh,
just express yourself to him today. Just lift your hands one more time and love him. Father, in Jesus' strong name, we just come before you today with thanksgiving, God. Thank you for helping us to love. Thank you for helping us to tell the truth. Thank you for helping us to be very sincere. Just to stand, God, for righteous sake. Thank you, Lord, for changing us, molding us, shaping us into the men and the women of God that you've destined us to be. Thank you, God, that we don't have to scream and holler. We just have to rise up every day and just walk out of our doors and live transformed lives. Help us to be kind, tenderhearted, loving, and forgiving one another for Christ's sake, as you've forgiven us. Help us to give forgiveness away. Help us to take the attitude, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Help us to reach out in love as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Help us to do it, Lord. Be our shepherd. Be our guide. It's in the name of Christ we pray and for his glory. Come on, shout amen. Shout amen. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome Sunday. Have an awesome, awesome Sunday. God loves you.